Welcome, welcome, bienvenue. La radio du festival Bildrausch.
Film Explorer installe ses micros au Stadtkino de Bâle, le temps du festival Bildrausch. Autour de cette table, Giuseppe Di Salvatore, Emilien Gour, et derrière sa console de réalisation, Olivier Legras, avec nous, notre invité, Loïs Patigno. Bonjour Loïs.
Bonjour.
Grand plaisir de vous recevoir sur notre plateau pour parler d'une expérience que j'hésiterais presque à qualifier de cinématographique, tant elle semble dépasser le strict cadre de ce médium pour nous ouvrir à des champs de perception, de conscience et d'émotions rarement atteints de mémoire de spectateur. Samsara, c'est le titre de ce long métrage si singulier, et de ces films qui peuvent vous laisser bouche bée, en état de quasi-lévitation au sortir de sa projection. Et nous allons essayer de trouver les mots pour exprimer son mystère, sa magie, sa profondeur. Mais avant cela, je signale que vous êtes donc cinéaste et artiste, Loïs Patigno, que vous travaillez sur l'expérience contemplative et la relation qui se noue entre l'homme et le paysage. D'ailleurs, vos œuvres sont présentées dans de nombreux festivals et foires d'art contemporains. Avec Samsara, vous vous intéressez au cycle des réincarnations. Le film débute dans un temple bouddhiste au Laos et se termine face à l'océan, sur une plage de Zanzibar. Il suit l'itinéraire de jeunes moines, d'un adolescent, d'une vieille femme mourante, puis d'une petite chèvre. À son mi-temps, à travers une extraordinaire séquence immersive, une sorte de trip transcendantal et psychédélique qui en appelle à la croyance du spectateur, le film se métamorphose, se réincarne lui-même en un autre film tout aussi puissant et poétique. Il me semble difficile de trouver les mots pour exprimer ce que produit sur nous ce cinéma en état de grâce. Peut-être simplement écouter vos mots à vous, Loïs Patigno. Quel a été le point de départ de Samsara et quelle expérience vouliez-vous nous faire vivre en réalisant ce long métrage? So, what was the beginning of the project and what kind of experience would you like to make us live with this movie?
Mm-hmm. I think that the very first idea was to try to explore the idea of the invisible. In my previous work, this is my third feature film, I wanted to explore different cinema languages, cinema forms, and yeah, to try to explore what can come from that, what experience receive the audience from that, no? In Costa da Morte, my first feature film, I explored the distance. So I developed a film that is all shot with people very far in the, you know, it's like landscape shots, and you see the people very far away, but you hear their sound very closely, no? Their voices, their breath, their work. So it was working in a double distance. In my second feature film, Red Moon Tide, I was exploring the temporality, a suspended temporality. So it was a village in Galicia, my hometown, where everybody was paralyzed. So it was this idea of the immobility and how this paralyzed time somehow, no? And here I was exploring and reflecting about the idea of the invisible, and I arrived to this very literal idea of having a film to watch with the eyes closed. And this is how I started, no? Then years after, I found out this book, the Tibetanian Book of the Death, Bardo Todol, that is a Buddhist guide of what you are going to find in the afterlife. No, very precisely they say, well, now you will see this, you will hear that. And so I thought it was a really nice combination to mix this idea of having an eyes closed experience in cinema with the sound proposal connected with this reincarnation process in the afterlife, no? And from that, I thought the structure was going to be like a triptych or a diptych with this passage in the middle. The first part had to be in a Buddhist country. I decided Laos after some searching because it was a country that I didn't know much, and I was curious. So I did a first trip. I I discover how the kids and the teenagers live in the temples, and I was really curious about, wanted to know more about their lifestyle. And then, so I have Laos, and then I wanted a really big cultural contrast, and in every terms, in the landscape, the people, the religion also. So by chance, I was invited to give a video art workshop in Tanzania. And in Zanzibar, I discovered this community of women working in the seaweed farms in the beach. And I thought it was a great combination. So that was by chance, but it was something, an invitation from someone to go there.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for this very clear, large explication about the beginning of this project and how you developed and structured in these three parts your film. I mean, the bardo is a sort of interworld, or the world between a life and another life, or life and death. It depends on the point of view. Anyway, this in-between is something that is speaking exactly about cinema also, because we can also think that cinema is exactly this daydreaming dimension where we are aware but still in another world, a bit in the mind, but at the same time also there physically, and etc. So it's interesting that you mentioned the other two films you did, where really the cinematic dispositive was at the center. So is also for this film, for you and the bardo, what you discover also in this book, something useful in order to speak about cinema in general?
Yes, for me, the director James Benning, that is a very radical landscape filmmaker from US. He says to his students, I don't want you to make a good film. There are enough good films. I want you to discover a new language. No? And this is, no, I was not his student, but I was his student by watching his films. And this is my goal. No, I try to, cinema is a very young art, no? And with a lot of possibilities, much more than the painting, and they are discovering new languages in painting since I don't know how many centuries, no? And so I think we don't know how this cinema language can evolve. So many things can be discovered. So I try in every film to try to look for a different way of showing the reality, a different way of, there is one sentence from a French philosopher or a film critic, Dominique Noguet. He said, another way of showing will bring you another way of thinking. No? And this idea of another way of showing the reality, I think it will open, no, the perspective of how you understand the life, how you understand the world. And cinema can do that, as every other art. And so this is what I try. So this film, this central part is from, that is where I try to make something different than the usual, is the main point. Without this central part, probably I was not going to be interested in the other two. I am, but And it's the part in Laos and the part in Zanzibar is the more normal film that I did in my career. But this is because the central part is very radical, no? So to compensate.
Yeah, I found very, very organic how this part and this experience come. In the sense, of course, there is a moment of surprise. Okay, what is going now? But at the same time, I mean, all the film works for it. And these you feel almost the necessity of doing this experience. Anyway, I found really normal. at the other time, on the other side, of course, what you do also with the camera and with the image in the other parts, you mentioned painting. I mean, there's something very, very near to painting, or near to an image that is very well composed and with a very nice colors. And so how did you choose to have this specific cinematography, this specific image in the other two parts?
Mm-hmm. Here, one important thing in the film is that I work with two cinematographers. No, in the first part is Mauro Erce, a Spanish. He's also a filmmaker, and he worked with very well as DOP. He worked with very good filmmakers as Oliver Lasse, that is a friend of mine. And in the second, in Zanzibar, the third part or second, I work with Jessica Sara Rinland, that she's also a filmmaker from UK, Argentina. And that was also important for me to use too, because I want, as it's a film about reincarnation, I wanted to show a different perspective of how you see the world, how you relate with the reality. No, and both of them, they have a very developed sense of the plasticity of the image, also in terms of the contemplation and contemplative image. Mauro Erce is closer to my perspective, like it's more atmospheric, and Jessica Sara Rinland is more tactile. She worked more with hands, touching the matter, hands working. And for me, it was important to I invite her because as the central part is so ethereal, so spectral, I wanted in the third part to touch the things again, no? I wanted the things to have matter, no? Because in the middle part is very phantasmagoric, no? And I wanted, okay, we are now again in the reality. And it has intimacy and contemplation that is something that I like, but from the tactile. I in my previous work, I worked more with the distance. No, so I like it, that combination. And we did a work with the color correction, really, really pictorial also, trying to bring it not to the reality, more oniric style, mainly also more in Laos, in the Laos part, that where we see many people sleeping, so the oniric aspect start to appear. I work with overposition of images, sometimes also to overlay this idea of the dream, the film as a dream experience.
And who was the cinematographer of the middle part? I mean, you had also to create some images in a sort of way, because of course we close the eyes, we have a sort of red images, but at the same time there are lights going on, there is a flickering movement. How did you study perception theory? I don't know, how would you create this part?
Yeah, I read a little bit about this perceptual attention and perceptive psychology and that, not very deeply, but because it was more also about the experience, no? I knew about this, like the dream machine that William Burroughs worked with. I know they use it in the Beat Generation as something to to change drugs for this light experience. No, it's a light with some holes, the turning, and if you close the eyes before just in front of that, it starts to create something well similar to my film, no? And I have also some other references, like a Blue by Derek Jarman. No, I like that a bath of blue light that goes to the audience, or also the artist James Turrell, no, that has these light rooms, no, that you go inside this infinite space of light that is very spiritual and contemplative. So I was working around that, and also some experimental filmmakers working with the flicker experience. But the most probably the DOP of that part is the sound designer, because him is the one that creates the images or awakes the images. You know that because it's you close your eyes, but the images are still there. But it's images that came from an involuntary memory that awakes from the sound. You know? And we. So my instructions for the Xavier Erquicia, that is the sound designer, is a sound theorist and a sound artist. He's also a music producer of very interesting composers. And what I told him is that part is 15 minutes. Even if you, when you are with the eyes closed, you, sometimes the experience of time dissolves somehow. But the first half, I asked him to follow the sounds that are described in the Bardo Todol book. But because they say, you will hear a storm, you will hear a thunder, you will hear, no, many, very precise. So we follow somehow this to create a poetic experience, but also very physical, because we can work with the sound system of the theaters that are really, really nice, no? And the 5.1, no? So surrounding the audience that works turning, no? And so in the first half, we have this more abstract and physical experience. And then I wanted to hear very precise places. And so the audience can recognize and can have an image, can create an image from that place. No? So we hear a granddaughter and the grandson in Italy with a train. Then we hear a guy with an elephant. We hear also a woman cooking, speaking in one language that is lost, because he's all of those sounds were from his archive that he recorded in his trips. And so, for example, this woman is a language that now is lost. No, is. Because nobody speak it. And so, yeah, more or less is how we work with the sound.
It's very interesting what you say about the tension between physicalities and abstraction in your work. And it's not really a question, but a comment about what you said before, that your cinema is about, your practice of as a filmmaker is about discovering new possibilities for cinema as a language. And at the same time, your cinema makes us discover the world and you. And it's not a question, but about a comment about these two ways of making discoveries for the cinema, and the cinema that makes us discover the world and you. And how do you relate to this double process of making discoveries?
Yeah, the idea of we discover the world is like, yeah, there are like, yeah, like many worlds, and probably the view of someone to this reality here, for example, it will be discover a different world from. But I don't know if it's related exactly with your question, but something I think important nowadays, and that is in the debate in the academy, at least in the academic world in the States, that is something is about the possibility of a filmmaker, white filmmaker from Europe, recording in different countries, no, and this idea of the anthropology. Or visual anthropology and that, no, and in many places they don't see nicely this thing, no, and for me it's very dangerous that like a preconception, no. Of course, you can see bad examples of this and good examples of this, but. With this film, for example, I didn't thought about that when I was doing it, but now many film critics from the States always start with this question, no? Because it's in the debate in the academy. And I think if you forbid filmmakers or artists or writers, or maybe writers is different, no? Because you process by yourself and then you, but anyway, if you make a filmmaker, just to be in this case, not allowing the possibility of looking to the other, and with curiosity, with a will of understanding, of hearing their wills, their fears, their complaints, no? You make them look to themselves, just to themselves, no? And sorry, because my English is not so good for this, but this idea of the otherness start to be farther and farther and farther, no? I think the will is to understand each other, hear each other as much as possible, to get to know the other, the exchange, the cultural exchange, but not going with your truth or wanting to go over, no? This film was made to try to celebrate the cultural diversity of the world and trying to show a kind of harmony of different cultures and religions together. No, we in Laos we have the kids studying Buddhism, the kid that is out of the Buddhism, but also the kids in the temple are from a different religion from the north of Laos, the Hmong ethnic. In Zanzibar we have the Muslim, we have the Maasais, all living together, no? And the will of the film, and as a personal trip, was to try to open how life, how we see the life, and how life can believe, no? And how the cultural frames can change, and you can live in many different cultural frames. There is not one reality. And I think it's very important to understand, and people understand, that there is not just one reality, the reality where you live. And if you forbid filmmakers to film outside with curiosity, hearing the people, and I think it will create more like this idea of nationalism. Okay, and this is the reality. And mainly also with cultures that doesn't have the power to make so many films to show the reality in the world, no? So this danger of the cultural globalization and the Western culture erosionating the reality from all the screens in the world, no? Just Western life. And I think it's a must to try to show in the screens a more diversity in this sense, no, and to help them to develop that and that.
I completely agree with this point. This is very, very urgent, and probably sometimes, mostly in the States, the debate is a bit too rigid, I would say. An interesting thing will be on the other side, probably, that I remember now an African from Malawi artist that did something, I don't remember the name, did something very interesting, came to Switzerland and did a film about Switzerland in a very anthropological way. So this other way out, that could be very interesting to balance, if we need really to balance, but not to forbid or so. But I think that's probably the occasion even to speak about something specific in your film that go completely beyond these differences, because you focus really with the theme of reincarnation, and you dare also to assume the point of view of an animal. And I think that is another debate. It is also relatively important in these days, what is called more than human perspective. So this idea to shift a bit the perspective from the human point of view to trying at least to imagine something other, or at least a transversality between human, animals, plants, minerals, everything. And so I don't know if you had some inspiration in cinema, in books, I don't know, about this specific point. Of course, the Bardo book is something speaking about this, but yeah, I don't know. How did you work also in order to convey this perspective in the second and third, second, third part with the goal to the later?
Yeah, this idea of trying to open it to different cultural perspective and a different perspective, I push it to a next level. That is, so we reincarnate into a goat in the second part, no? And we somehow I invite the audience to experience this Zanzibar world from the perspective of this goat, no? And yeah, here I wanted also to try to sensibilize more the people with this idea, no? I think it's with this multi-species perspective, no? This idea of that we are not the only one in the world living in the planet, no? And the relationship, I think it's very naturalized one terrible relationship with animals that we create an industry to feed us, no? And we kill every day millions of animals to feed us, and they are trapped here and there. And it's very natural, no? And I eat meat and that, no? But I'm trying to, because I think in a close future, we will be seen as something terrible people, no? Like almost like now I'm preparing in Zanzibar also a short film that is related with esclavism, because Zanzibar was one of the main ports of esclavism. No, they sell more than 600,000 people from there. I think something related that, no, with animals nowadays. No, the other day I saw, like 2 weeks ago, the news that in China they create a big building like 15 floors just with pigs. To feed people, no, like really, really, really big, and that was like really shocking, no, and we have that, but not so high, no, but that one, that to see the building, they put the in the news, they put that building, and I thought, oh no, we just arrived too far, we get too far, no, with this, so the film was trying to go a little bit with that, no, and. The same thing with the culture, no? Okay, the Western culture is not the only one that runs the world, no? We have this, the Buddhists in the temples living in this way, in Zanzibar with the Muslim frame, religion, and animals there somehow, no?
But there are all these many perspectives, human, non-human, but at the end it's the perspective of cinema as a form of art. And this is something very interesting in your work. I mean, like the attention that is paid to the small details. I mean, of course, this is the attention that you are paying as a filmmaker, that your DOP is paying to the world. But at the end, it's all framed through to the cinematic medium. And my question would be about how do you work with this entanglement between your perception as a human and the attention of the cinematic device. How do you work with this entanglement between a human and the technical attention to the world that you are trying to seize?
But you mean like how to try to express my perspective through the cinema language.
How does How does cinema direct your attention? Because like you're directing a film, but your attention is also directed through the medium itself.
Yeah. Here, I don't know. I think the goal of a filmmaker and an artist is to try to express the way as close as possible the way he feels to the way the film expressed, no? And I think as closer it is, the biggest results, no, of the work. Some filmmakers can work like, okay, I can do a good film, but, or now I do a humor and now an action film. And in my case, I think this idea of the contemplation and the intimate experience, the main ingredient for me that is the duration. And from that duration, brings the idea of an attention and a worry to the things. Because if you look to a goat for a while, it's not the same that if you and the empathy that you have. So I think from the duration. Is the tool that I work more to have this intimacy with the world, and the contemplation. I connect contemplation also with a way, because with the duration, what you can do is you can go farther and deeper, no? You can go, for example, if you talk about landscape, you can go beyond the landscape, and suddenly also there is this nice, very interesting philosopher, D.D. Huberman. No, he said, in front of each image, what you have to ask is how the image look at you, how the image think about you, how. Como la imagen te mira, como la imagen te piensa, and how the image touch you, no? An image can touch you nicely, can hit you, no? And with the duration, that questions starts to awake. If you move from one image to another very fastly, you cannot have the time to receive these questions, no? And so suddenly, with the duration, the images start to look at you, and here starts the otherness and a deeper connection with the world, and from that is from my work.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that we can end with this very nice statement. Just probably adding that speaking about this film with other people, the word beauty and harmony come very often. And I realize that sometimes they are considered like a problem, and I think that in art, beauty and harmony should come back to consider them as a positive thing, and even as a political thing, because finally it's just not claiming about a problem in the world that we do politics. It's also just proposing also something that has. That you see, touch you in a physical sense, at the same time propose an harmonic, probably utopic, I don't know.
Yeah, I think there should be filmmakers for everything, no? We need Ulrich Seidel hitting you with his images, but I prefer to touch with tenderness.
Thank you very much, Les Patigno.
Thank you, merci.
Willkommen, welcome, bienvenue. La radio du festival Bildrausch.
Thank you.